We are about to start our third year of podcasting, and as we look back, there is one thing we cannot deny.
It's because of you, our listeners, our day ones, our international coalition. Indy, I see you.
You came to our live shows, listened to thousands of episodes, responded with likes and comments on our social media, and helped us make moves in an industry where everyone has a podcast.
We have released over 250 episodes, serving you some of our best analysis and interviewing some of the biggest names, along with those making an impact in the wrestling industry.
So we just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say thank you, I guess.
Come on, Matt Michaels, be nice.
Go! Prepare yourself for another year of...
Welcome to another edition of Wrestling Talk.
This is the DeFalco Files with the one and only Joe DeFalco.
This is Three Count.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels, and this is People I Don't Hate.
Prepare yourselves for another year of douchebaggery, hijinks, and some talking out of the ass from all of us at the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Merry Christmas!
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here, and today I am joined by someone who, I don't know if you, but you probably didn't see, but I've reached out to you a number of times because I've wanted to talk to you. You are in a famous family, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Royalty among the wrestling community for sure. And that is Georgia Smith. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've got a bit of a cold. It's not COVID or anything, but it's just one of those seasonal things at this time of year. And, but you know, other than that, I'm fine. It's, little chilly here in Florida. It's about 45 degrees, which I'm, you know, I lived in England for 5 years. I'm Canadian. I've got no excuse, but it's still, other than that, you know, it's good. It's all good. It's all wonderful. I'm alive.
I hear you. I grew up in Chicago, and I remember I moved to LA, and that first winter, shorts. I was wearing shorts. It was like, oh, what are you people complaining about? The next winter...
Oh, coats. You got that reality. Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, it's exactly like that here this morning. I was like, oh my God, it's so cold. I've got no excuse, but you know, it's better. I'd rather be here than in Canada or England right now, because they are like Arctic cold. So I'm good. But yeah.
You know, speaking of, we're on the holiday seasons now. When you were a kid, what was it like for the Christmas time of year for you guys? Did you guys always have the full extended family together, or did you guys, you know, celebrate mainly between your mom, your dad, and your brother and yourself? Or
well, when we lived in, so the first years of my life that I remember, we were in Florida, and you know, Jim Neidhart, Ellie Neidhart, my aunt and uncle, right, and you know, Natty, Natalia, and her sisters Jenny and Muffy, they lived here. So we would do Christmas together all the time. So it was just like a small group. But then when we went to Canada for those Christmases, obviously my mom's one of 12, and I've got about 40, around 40 first cousins. So at the Hart House, it was always a big spectacle, a big fun Christmas. Always a good time. But with my dad, I only recall him for two Christmases.
Okay.
Because he's always busy. But yeah, Christmas, you know, it's my favorite time of year. I mean, right now it's a bit funny. It's a bit weird in the time of the world, but I just love Christmas. It's my favorite. I love it.
What is it about Christmas that brings out that passion in you to make it your favorite?
I think, I don't know. I just love the music. I know people get like sick of the music, but I love it. That's a very good question. The music, I love the movies. I love the food. I love, like, as we were talking about the coldness, I like the coldness a bit here because here there's like no seasons. It's right. Hot every single day. So we get those spurts of coldness. I know it's like, ugh, but I like it.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful outside. I'm going to have, after this, I'm going to go on a walk and go feed the ducks and have a thing of coffee. Pumpkin coffee or something. So I mean, I just love that coziness feel, and also, you know, we get days off.
It's true, right?
It's a big thing. And that's another thing was I used to visit England every Christmas. I went there for like 9 years straight, and okay. I would see my dad's family. So I just always associate it with family stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, I have been dumped at for two Christmases, so that's not fun. It's never being nice being dumped at Christmas.
Holy,
twice.
Are you?
Two different occasions.
What? Yeah. What cold-hearted bastard? What cold-hearted bastards? Bastards. You know, that's.
Yeah. Oh, twice.
Oh my God. Okay, I. You know what? I do have to admit. In high school, I was nice enough to have the Valentine's Day's dinner, and then the next day was the breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Not fun. But when you talk about England, it just hit me. How was your relationship with your grandparents on your dad's side because they were so far away?
I'm really close with my granddad. Like I haven't seen him in like nearly 2 years, but you know, I keep in touch with my cousins. I keep in touch with all of them. And also my dad, when he was doing the independent circuits in England, my brother and I would come. So we'd be there for like months and months and months. So, you know, we were always close. And I remember one of the last trips we were there for a whole summer and we went to Spain. And unfortunately that was the last time I saw my grandmother. And that was the last time I saw my Aunt Tracy, my dad's sister. Man. They died within like 3 months apart, like after that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I wish I've got three passports too. I've got Canadian, UK and American. So I could, if I wanted to go to England and go there tomorrow, but I think it would be kind of a complicated coming back. So I'm just waiting till things calm down and I want them to come here. Cause
sure.
For them, the warmth, you know?
Sure.
But yeah.
Was there any culture shock when you and your brother would go over there, you know, or did your dad instill a sense of what England was like so it kind of felt a little bit normal?
That's a very good question. So I lived in England for 5 years.
Nice.
So, I mean, first it was a bit of a culture shock with everything. It was a... You know, I had to learn how to drive on the other side of the road. I had to adapt to that. You know, all that fun stuff. Sorry, my messages. Sorry. Yeah, so I did all that there. And, you know, I had to make a new group of friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was hard. And I was there by myself. I didn't really see my family there much.
Wow.
Were you there pursuing...
modeling and acting, or what took you over there for the 5 years?
So when I moved there, I worked at a thing called Challenge TV for the first little bit. It was a thing called Wrestle Talk. So if you YouTube me, you'll find it. I mean, I kind of cringe when I watch it today because like A, I was like so nervous, and B, I was probably about a good 40 pounds heavier than I am now. So I kind of cringe a bit, but it was a good experience.
Sure.
I did that, and you know, all the people there. It was a wrestling TV show.
Sure.
So like they would talk about like all the wrestling like from that week, or you know, we would touch on that and like old school wrestling. My dad, it was a lot of fun. And it was in London, and I would go, you know, whenever they needed me. When I first went there, I was there like back to back to back to back, and then like when the winter months came, they took like time off. So, I mean, I had to kind of figure out from there like what am I gonna do here?
Right.
I'm a foreigner. I've never worked here. I don't know. I've gone to TV for or school for TV and radio, and I mean, and I had to do, you know, odd jobs and figure it out. And then whenever they would need me, I would go back and do that. And I would meet friends in entertainment, in that circle, you know, on LinkedIn and you know, a guy named Mark Silk I became friends with, who did the voice for Scooby-Doo in the USA. And he did all like the CBB voices, and he did some voices in Star Wars. And he lived about a half hour from me, and he had a studio in his basement. Nice. Really nice studio.
Nice.
So him and I became friends, and he was like, hey, I need like an American voice for this. Can you do this, or can you audition for this? And we just became buddies. And a lot, some of the stuff that he used me for, I was like, oh, can I use this for like my reel? And he was like, well, you got to sign an NDA. You can't like,
yeah.
I was like, oh God. So I like, we do all this work, but you know, it was a chapter of my life meeting all these people and exploring. And I traveled all over England. And I got that sense, like you're talking about, like how and why my dad loved it there so much.
Yeah. Sorry, it's like you said, it's winter time, and out here, for whatever reason, in Vegas, I just get this dryness where I'm like constantly having to have water now. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
Tell me about it. I've got, you just made me think, I've got that right. Yeah,
right. It's like
water all day.
So, you know, what I find fascinating about your path is the fact that you did, you know, go to school for film and TV, and you know, you've done, you know, your share of things. Mm-hmm. What was the motivating factor for you? For me, like, I became SAG-AFTRA in 1998, and I'd been acting since I was like 5 years old, but it was always, you know, stage plays, stuff like that. But I found that it was weird, because the reason I was good at it is because I was an only child. So I was always making up stuff and, you know, making up and playing, you know. What was it for you that attracted you to entertainment?
That's a very good question. I think, you know, and I think my ADD is a result of this, but when I was early years of growing up, and like my brother, he's a couple years older than me, he'd be in right. school, and I'd be home all day with like his Ninja Turtles videos, and like all, like, and you know, there'd be Cartoon Network and you know, the Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, and I would literally like watch those all day because like it kept me busy, you know, I wasn't bothering anybody. My brother was gone, so it was kind of like, okay, well, I'm gonna watch TV. And so that's what I would do. And then when I wasn't doing that, I would like play with my dolls and like pretend, you know, things yeah. with that. Like, you know, do their show or whatever, their spiel, their shtick. And that became like my way of life. And then I remember I told my mom when I was like 7 years old, I was like, I want to do acting. I want to do movies and I want to do that. And I remember my mom said to me, she's like, well, that's going to be really hard. But I was like, this is what I want to do. And we did my headshots and, you know, I kind of wasn't the same as some of the other kids. Some of them were like very much trained SEALs and had the everything on point. And
right.
I was like, ah, what a, you know, a crazy kid. And that's what it was like. And, you know, always being around my dad on when he was on TV and,
right.
and seeing that, you know, when you have all that into consideration, it kind of molded me into the person I am. You know, I'm not a normal person at all. I'm very different. And you know, maybe I shouldn't have watched all that TV, but, you know, I love my Bugs Bunny, and it's made me who I do some crazy impressions. And my brother and I, and my mom, you know, it's made us, it's
okay.
A part of me. So,
wait. What are your three favorite impressions?
My mom, I guess my brother and I guess maybe like somebody like in my family in England.
Okay. So what would it sound like if your brother and your mom just had a quick conversation?
Oh, well, maybe you might want to clean that up and put that away. Oh, I'll do that in a bit. Like something like that. Like, huh? You don't say, huh? Something like that.
Oh my God. That's, you know, you, with your mom's impersonation, obviously, you know, those of us who have seen your mom in different aspects of, you know, in front of the camera for whatever it was for wrestling. Did you ever ask your mom or get a sense, was your mom comfortable with being in front of a camera?
Yes, she was. Okay. I mean, looking back, she might be like, oh God, I didn't want, oh, that's awful. Oh no. But I mean, from a young age, my mom, she was like Miss Sunshine Girl. She was always in front of a camera. So, I mean, I think she presented herself confidently.
Yeah.
She looked the part, but now she's like, oh, I'm so nervous there. Oh, my hair. What was I thinking? It's just like stuff like that. But yeah, for the most part, she's pretty good.
So she pretty much does what those of us who look back at something and go, mm-hmm. Oh my God. I lost my hair very early. And one of the things that I cringe is when I see pictures of myself in the mid 90s with like a perm and just going, why the hell did I have to get a perm? It's just like cringeworthy to think that, oh yeah, I thought I was that, you know, that cool. And it's like, ooh. And then you look, you look and go, oh. With your relationship with your brother, being that he was a couple years older, did you kind of look at him as a little bit of a role model, as little sisters tend to do?
No, I don't think I looked at him until a role model until probably in my teens.
Okay, yeah.
I think probably when my dad died, that was like who I then, like, he was then like the man of the house. Like he was, you know, he ultimately, you know, called the shots. I mean, in my mind, he did.
Yeah.
Like it was like what Harry says goes type of thing. Yeah. So, and then like when he, right from high school, did his independent tours and then got signed with WWE, that was something I felt like a bit of pressure because like, when I was in school, I struggled. And then when I was out of school, like I didn't have the grades or the money to like go to a decent school or anything. So again, working jobs and things, and then finally, and doing acting stuff, trying to do that and doing the modeling. And you know how much those courses cost.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Having to do that and like just doing that and then finally getting a scholarship at a school. And then, you know, doing the broadcasting and then from there, intern. So with that, it was like, I felt a bit of pressure because it's like my brother's like, wham, boom, on TV doing the, and it was like, yeah, I'm just here.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, but I looked up to him.
Right.
And that's just like, you know, he's done all this.
But also, you know, what's interesting about that is that when you go through something as quick as he did, then it's the back end that you're dealing with in terms of when you don't have that anymore. Now, what am I doing to either get back to that position or go to this way in my life? Where you got the experience, and don't you just love the tag intern? Because you do everything like a PA would do, but you're not getting like paid. The bit. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in that essence, it's kind of nice that you, I don't want to say enjoyed because it's not very enjoyable, but at the same time, like those are the most carefree, like you're having fun, but you're still trying to build up that ladder. Did you find yourself going, hey, you know what? This is kind of cool. Or was it like, I don't know, you know, at what point do you go, I think I can make this work? Or what point do you go, I think I need to take a different path?
So with a couple of internships I did, I was like, this is not for me. But it's crazy because when I was in school, I was like, this is what I want to do, and did the whole reel, everything, and got my school to sign off on it and recommend me. And, you know, they went back and forth and I was like, yes, this is so exciting. And it's NBC. And you go and you're like, this sucks. I mean, yeah, it was okay, but it just wasn't for me. That right. was the thing. And like, I'm glad I did that, because there was some things where I'm like, no, like I do not want to wake up and do this every day.
Right.
Like, it's not for me. And then, you know, there was another internship that I did with Fox Radio, and it was all, I mean, I don't know what anybody's political beliefs are, that's fine. But, you know, going there at 4 a.m. till 10 a.m., doing that all day and hearing all one side of something all day, right. having to be the intern to that and to cater to that and to get hear all that, and you know, some, you know, yeah. how they treat interns, yeah. as you know, and then, you know, having to do that and then go to work and then do it all. And it was like, no. And then, you know, you see some of the people there and it's like, are they really happy with what they're doing? Like, exactly. So there was like a couple of things like that, like what you said, it was like, no, this isn't for me. And then there was more of like a lifestyle show that I was with, and I genuinely liked it. I liked it more than the other two, but again, it wasn't like really grabbing me like to do that. But, you know, I feel like I'm still on the path of like finding sure. where I'm going. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like I got it all figured out. And I, you know, with my other job that I'm kind of with right now, with the iHeart, it's not, you know, iHeart, it's all events.
Right.
So there's nothing really going on right now. And I'm just kind of like, okay, well, that's not working. What can I do? I'm always trying to like focus on something, sure. because otherwise we're all going to lose our minds. We're working, we're doing something. Me personally, like, I can't just sit at home and not do anything.
Yep.
So that's why, like, you know, going back to my dad's stuff, it's like, oh, like I really enjoy waking up and running my dad's stuff and talking to different companies and different venues and different people, brands, and being like, okay, because you know why that is? Because I care. Because I care about my dad and his legacy, and that stuff I care about. I don't care about certain things that, you know, in the media, like I don't, yeah. you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, ultimately, which I'm glad you said Fox and being around just what it is as an entity, because you're absolutely right. You got a choice. Either you seek something that you're passionate about, that you feel good about, or you sell out and you end up, you know, just doing what you're being told to do because you're making
a paycheck.
Yeah, you're making good money. I really like the fact that you've started to really expand your dad's legacy. And preservation, this is one of the reasons I wanted to start a podcast with the guys here in Vegas, is because I think that we're at a time in our society where we can actually talk to each other about things we're passionate about, and then it will be there for other generations to see.
What gave me the inspiration? Well, there was a few things, because I love him and I wanted to, and I was passionate about it, but I also saw what Shannon Lee does for her dad, for Bruce Lee. And, yeah. you know, she's obviously like, I think she's got different people who run things and help her out, obviously, because it's a huge global brand.
Right.
But I saw what she was doing, and she was posting pictures and memories and content of Bruce. And, you know, I saw that and I was like, wow, I would like to do something like that. So that's what pushed me for my dad's, and I wasn't expecting anything of it. I didn't think it would take off and be the way. I mean, obviously, my dad, it would have been successful in some capacity, but I didn't know me by myself
yeah.
running it would be as successful as it is now. And, you know, it's just growing more and more and more. And, you know, he's in a WWE documentary coming up. He's in the Hall of Fame. There's some other projects coming up with him. He's got like a new store. It's just his fan base. Like, he is growing and rising and rising. And it's just crazy, because like, I have an unlimited amount of content. Like, it's never yeah. going to end.
Yeah.
It's not. And, you know, somebody said like, well, you know, maybe family photos, you won't get it. No, I won't. But like, every day there is somebody that posts something, or it's a piece of artwork, or it's a match of his, or it's a picture of him. Like, you know, my dad, he was only almost 40 when he died, but his life, you would have thought he was here for like 100 years because of all of the content, everything. And I feel like my dad is more talked about now than he was, you know, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years ago. He is, and you know, if I'm the reason why that is, then that's great, you know. And if it's helped, his social media has helped nudge getting his attention to Hall of Fame and these WWE projects, then that's my goal. And I want fans to experience that. You know, I have like, there was a girl, she must have been like 15, and she posted something about my dad. It was like an artwork she did of him. And she was like, I'm watching this, and I've made this. And I was like, oh my God, that is crazy. And you know, I did an event, WrestleCon. The guy must have been like 20 years old, and he was like, yeah, my favorite wrestling time was 97, and your dad. And I was like, wait a minute, you weren't even born when the screw job happened. And he was like, yeah, like that's my favorite time of wrestling. And I was just like, holy. And he's like, and I follow your dad's social media and everything. And it's just like you said, like all these new young fans and these older fans, and we're all coming together.
Yeah.
You know, as somebody said to me, they're like, this is like the Bulldog movement. Like we are like a team, and you'll see people do like hashtag Team Davey. And it's like, it's not costing me any money doing it. It's not costing them any money. And it's like, we all just share, and we're all like, it's the common thing is Davey.
Yeah.
And to represent him and to enjoy what he did, you know?
Yeah. I think you really nailed it when you said it felt like 100 years worth of, you know, work in a short time. I always forget that he was only 39.
Yeah.
Because for me, coming up, being that it's Christmas 1986, my favorite present were the Bulldogs tag team, you know, LJN. It was great. I can like literally remember, you know, that moment of opening it up and having this nice big box, and there they are. And, you know, when I think about that, it's like, yeah, you know, for every moment of my life from about 10 years old to, you know, when he passed away, I was, you know, in my early 20s, where you go, wow, I forget that it was just that normal part of my life. And, you know, the nicest thing is that by looking at either if it's his matches or reading something that someone's posted or seeing pictures, it brings me back to that feeling of being a kid and opening up the toys and going to the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago and seeing them wrestle. And it's just like, wow, you know, it really brings a soft spot in my heart. And then to see your brother and what he's been able to accomplish, like being at my age now, I feel so proud to see what he's done and so proud to see what you've done. Even though I don't personally know you, you know, we haven't, you know, talked before now, but that's the whole thing. It's like the aspect of wrestling, you know, one of the reasons I stepped in and tried wrestling myself was because of what your, you know, dad did when I was a kid and what I saw. And it's just, yeah, it's just so nice to see this. With the embrace and everything going on, and with the fact that there is a Hulk Hogan movie being made right now in Hollywood, would that be something you'd ever consider, is, you know, getting together with someone who is a screenwriter and potentially telling your dad's story?
It's funny that you say that, but for like the last 6 months, I've been working on it.
Nice. That's wonderful.
So, I mean,
yes.
You never know. So, but I've been working on it.
I know how the process is. It's really tough, not only to actually sit down and write a script, but then to, you know, go through the phases of getting a script made and everything. It's tough, but I think that that's wonderful that you're taking that aspect, because, you know, sometimes when you see, you know, the archival stuff, you know, the stuff you look back on, that's one thing. But when you see an actor being able to convey the stuff that you saw as a kid, that you, mm-hmm. the love that you felt from your dad, it's a totally different feeling for someone to connect to who he was. And I think that just, it blows my mind at even the possibility of seeing that on screen at some point. It would just be so great. It would be great.
I have somebody, because there's somebody that I know, and he writes scripts, and he is an actor in England, and he's a massive fan of my dad's, and we just kind of went back and forth talking, and he's written like the first couple of pages of it.
Nice.
But right now we're in the process of like approaching different places and different, you know, studios. So, I mean, I don't know, you know. But I believe it will happen.
Yeah. Well, and you also got good outlets too, being that if you're working with someone in England, there's that possibility of getting it done through an English company.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that makes a lot more sense than going through the grind here and just having it eaten up and spitting back out, and then you're just like,
you're right, here it's a different animal. It's just like they're like, yeah, we get it, but whereas in England it's like it makes more sense. Yeah
You know, when you think back to how you guys as a family handled your dad's passing, who was the rock at that time of the family to kind of, you know, help you guys, you know, through what is a rough time? Anytime, you know, a dad passes away and a husband passes away, it's really tough. Who was there for you the most?
Obviously my mom, and probably my grandpa Stu.
Yeah.
My grandfather Stu, 100%. Like, because we lived so close by him, and at that time, like, he had bought my mom a house to make sure we were close by, and like, if my mom wasn't home or something, or, you know, we needed a place to go, it was always with him. He was always wanting to take care of us, always calling to see if we were okay. You know, his door, obviously, you know, with the hard house, there was an open door policy. Anybody at any time literally was welcome. And you know, he made that base. And when he died, it was like, because obviously my grandmother died before that, but when he passed away, it was like there was no real soul in the house. It was just an old house. And it wasn't the same. But where when he had it and my grandmother was there, and it was just, you know, there was so much life and love in it. But him and my mom, I would say.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that feeling of what he created and your grandmother created in the Hart household, is that something that has kind of passed on to you in terms of, do you like to have like gatherings and, you know, put out the plates and do all, you know, the fancy stuff? Or are you more of a like, hey, it's 5 o'clock, let's just go get a cheeseburger and, you know.
I'm very much, I'm like, let's go get a cheeseburger type of thing. But my grandfather's house, as I'm sure you've seen in clips and things, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
The chandeliers, the Persian rugs, the everything, the crown molding, every little detail in that house, my grandfather like came up with everything from the pastry, the mohair chairs, and the dining room table, and how everything. So I don't know what your thoughts are on astrology, but I'm a Libra, and I love everything balanced, and everything in that house was like balanced, beautiful. So like with me, I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm an interior director, designer, decorator. I feel like I'm like an not quite one, but
yeah, that's sure.
It's like a passion of mine. Like when I'm down the dumps, I want to decorate, or when I have a house, I want it to look like my grandpa's house.
Yeah.
Like he inspired me, And now, because of him, I have expensive taste. So like, oh, that's a really nice chair. Oh, it's $5,000. Okay, I can't get that. Oh, that house, that chair looks like it was something from Grampy's. Oh God, I can't. But you know, when he had the money, he made it beautiful. And like, that's what I strive for.
Do you think that, I mean, something like that, that's really kind of a fascinating thing. That, do you think your grandfather was like that because of the fact of, you know, how he grew up, and now you're able to have these nice things and wonderful things because you work so hard to get them, that he just, you know, kind of made that his own domain, his own palace?
He was living in a tent, and he had to hunt his own food. And you know, it was really in those Saskatchewan winters, it was really, really hard. And from him to go from that to, you know, obviously the house that they got, and he turned it into this beautiful house. There. So just crazy. But he tried to bend the light he didn't have.
Okay. So, that's okay. One of the things I love about the weird things about just being human beings is the fact that you can walk into some kind of room and have certain, like, smell that brings you back. Like if I go into a baseball park, you know, I smell a hot dog and I'm always brought back to when people could smoke cigars in the stands and that kind of thing. Is there anything like that brings back for you either thoughts of, you know, your grandparents, your dad, anything that brings back any memories that you know, excites you when you go, ooh?
There's like this like leather smell, and whenever I smell that, I think of my grandpa, because I think he had like so many like leather jackets or something. I don't know, but it's like whenever I walked into like his bedroom, there was that smell.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely,
but it was that smell. Yeah, and with my dad, whenever I smell Christian Dior's Fahrenheit cologne, because that was his favorite cologne, he'd always wear it. And like spray it in his hair, spray every single, all the time. So whenever I smell that, it just takes me right back to Davey. Or when I smell the Tiger Balm.
Ah, yeah.
Tiger Balm that the wrestlers used to rub on their joints and body, and it was sore. My dad used to like, I thought in some of the gear that I've got of his, because Harry's like trying to smell it. He's like, oh, I thought Tiger Balm would be like ingrained in it. But whenever I smell that takes me right back to like old school 90s WWF and my dad. It just takes me right back to that being a kid.
What are your recollections or thoughts of when you would go backstage? Were there any other kids around that you got to see at that time, or was it
not really? Like, I didn't really pay attention. I'm just trying to think. I think I recall like maybe like Jake Roberts had some children at the, like maybe like in the 94, 95 when he was there. But like we didn't really like anything. It was mostly my cousins.
Yeah.
That were backstage. And if it wasn't them. So I didn't become friends with like the kids until, that's a good point. So when I was in like, I don't know, maybe I was like 4 or 5, my trick-or-treating buddy was Bray Wyatt. Yeah. So we used to always go over to their house. We used to always go to Mike Rotunda's house. So, but like, I wouldn't really see them backstage. We were just more just friend, socialize. And so, yeah, he was my, whenever I see him, I'm like, trick-or-treat buddy, what's up? It was him. And then as I older I got, like when I was 20, I met like the Wild Samoans for the first time, and I became friends with Volley, their daughter. And Volley, she's a SAG actress as well, and she's an artist and like a life coach, and she's a really good positive person. And all of, you know, the the Onawai family and some of the Johnson family were all, I'm friends with them, but that came later on.
Sure.
Yeah, those, that crew.
That's, yeah. And it's amazing too, because that whole family too is, you know, they're so close and everything is about family, which is amazing, you know, how that just happens where something like wrestling, when it's in your blood, it's in it in some way, you're going to get involved, whether it's just taking care of, you know, some of the guys who came in from out of town or something like that. And it's really cool to see a relationship like that.
And they're very much like my family too. Like they have like an open door policy. Like when I go to Offa's house, it's like the door is always open. You know, the people at his wrestling school, they're always in and out. Like everybody's family. You know, if I were to ever ask them for anything, they'd be like, okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And they're just really good people. Really good. You know, like you said, like they've got, it's, Volley jokes around with me. Volley's like, if you're to put my family in, like, it'd be like, we'd have a Madison Garden. There's just, you know, it's true though. It's just like two massive families.
Yeah.
But yeah, good people.
In terms of when you have so many cousins, who was the person that you got along with the best, and who was the person who was the biggest pain in your butt?
Okay. So the person I got along with the best is probably my cousin Lindsay. Lindsay, oh, her last name's Bassara, but she goes as Hart. So Lindsay Hart, she's a makeup artist. Nice. She is. And the one that's like, it's just not a pain in the ass to me. He wasn't at me, but just in a whole and in general is probably my cousin Ted. Like no shock, no surprise there.
I guess so. Yeah. Hart, but
always harassing somebody or causing problems for somebody or ruining, destructive, but yeah, probably him. Sorry, Ted, but you know, I had to pick one.
I've talked to him a little bit. I love him.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's hilarious.
He's his own. He's his own person. That's the best.
His own person, and you know, bless his heart. But everywhere he goes, there's always a something or something's happened or a problem has occurred, and it's like, so that's what happened. It was Ted. Okay. Just, like you said, but he just walks to the beat of his own drum, and it's like, whatever, I'm gonna do what I want to do. So
yeah, and you know,
he's hilarious. He's so talented.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great heart, but he's a bit like Daffy Duck, and like I said, the kid from Problem Child, that like that, like combined, and it's like, oh my god.
So when you're looking at something like the WWE Hall of Fame, does that for you mean not only recognition, because obviously that's going to be, you know, a title that will always be there, but mm-hmm. does that for you mean, you know, kind of a better relationship with that company to hopefully then, if you need anything for, you know, your future in endeavors and let's say making a movie or something like that, that it might be easier to do business with them?
No, like, I'm like, there's never, like, I know Harry got released and all that, but like, it's always been very positive. My dad's always been under the Legends contract. He's been under a Legends contract there for like nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, they've always got always positive things to say about my dad. And you know, I just did a project with them recently, another thing outside of my dad's documentary, and the guy based in the LA Hollywood WWE studios, he talked to my brother and I, and he was like, you guys are always WWE family. you know, you guys, whatever, you know, no matter how many, how much time goes by, you guys are family to us. Yeah. Like, you are WWE family, and we always want to treat you guys like family. So, and I've gone to like the Hall of Fames, you know, in the past, and I've gone to WWE WrestleManias and different events, and it's always, always a positive experience. I'm never like, oh God, I wish I didn't go to that, or that was awkward. It's always been really good.
Sure.
In the sense, like, it will make our relationship better. I don't know if it will really make much of a difference, but it just, I think it, if they see us, see not so much my dad, but if they see Harry and my mom and myself, and they're like, oh, okay, like, because we've always been kind of in the background in recent years, and now they're going to see us and be like, oh, yeah, this is, oh, wow, George is actually like a grown-up person now. And, you know, you know what I mean? Like, wow, like, Georgia and Harry are taking the stage, and which hasn't, well, you know, Harry's wrestled, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, speaking on a grand scale like that, is, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we will get noticed and get their attention in that sense, which I'm really grateful for. Maybe in the future, that if they're like, oh, you know, we have this project in mind, and, you know, it's about something, and Georgia might be great for it, or, you know, that's funny, because WWE, they reach out to me recently for another project, and they were like, oh, you know, we know you run your dad's stuff, and so-and-so at WWE said, anything Bulldog, you're the person to talk to. Huh. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then they came, and we did some filming. But, you know, once the Hall of Fame and stuff happens, that might be, like, quadrupled after, doubled after that. And be like, oh, okay, well, there's Georgia. Well, I remember she was there. She was on stage. Cool. She was on TV.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, same with my mom and Harry.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point, because now you've become the brand ambassador.
And exactly.
There's nothing that isn't positive about that. You know, that's the coolest thing. Do you ever think of any time that you've encountered Vince McMahon? Do you look at him kind of like as like that uncle who shows up like every 15 years for Thanksgiving dinner? Like, you see him, he's pleasant and stuff, but it's like you don't see him enough to like have him as like, you know, like he's my friend or anything like that. Is he, you know, are the McMahons kind of like an acquaintance to you guys, or?
Yeah, he's like, to me, he's like an acquaintance. Like, if you were to see my mom or Harry, obviously he would know them.
Right.
But with me, he would like, he wouldn't know who I was.
Right.
Until I'd ever like, oh, hi. And then it would click like, oh, okay. But like, I've had in the past, like some really good, deep conversations with Vince, like in the past. And, you know, you won't see him for like 15 years. And then it's like, oh, my God, she's grown up. Or, you know, think of all the people he sees on a daily basis every single day. So obviously, like, I'm not going to take offense like, oh, he didn't remember me, because it's like they're on a whole other. Obviously, you know, you're not going to forget Vince McMahon's face.
Right.
See him all the time. Right. And same with like Stephanie and Shane. And when I saw Shane recently, I saw him at last year's WrestleMania. And I just said, like, oh, hi, I'm Georgia. And first he came up with a handshake, and then I was like, I'm Davies. And then he gave me the hug and was like, wow. He said, thank you for coming up to me and talking to me. And he said, thanks for saying hi. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, and then same with Stephanie. I don't know if you saw that clip, but I was doing this thing with iHeartMedia, and it was a press conference for the WrestleMania.
Right.
I was like, oh, hi. And I was like, it's Georgia. And she's like, nice to meet you, Georgia. And I was like, I'm Davies' daughter. And she was like, oh my God. She gave me a hug. And, you know, like, and some people might be like, oh, well, she didn't know who you were. And it's like, that's not the point. It's just like, it was just nice to be like, to just, you know, cause our families go way back, and, you know, I'm not going to just have a conversation with her and not mention my dad, or, you know, get questions. And it's like, you know, what would be the point of that?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always nice. Vince is about the same, but I never like want to go up to Vince, because like he's really busy and he's like doing a million things, and it's like, okay, you know, Shane, obviously, if he's having some coffee and sitting there, and like, okay, I'll go say hi, or you know, with Stephanie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But with Vince, like, like you said, it might be like the principal you might not want to go up to right at that moment and chat with.
He's, you know, the one thing about Vince that I've always remembered is it was backstage. It was early 1999, and it was in Anaheim at the Pond. And after the house show had finished, I'd gone downstairs with my buddy, and we had these janky little passes that said NBC on them. And of course, the security mm-hmm. let us through because, hey, we're with NBC. Yes. And we're standing there and, you know, seeing some of the guys talking, saying hi. And you just felt this presence over your shoulder.
And this energy.
Yeah. Isn't it just the strangest thing where he just has this thing about him where you're not even looking. And as soon as you look around, you feel that and you just go, oh.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, of course, like to tear down, you know, when you're successful, tearing down the legacy is always something people like to do. But
exactly.
Like you say, you know, it's not about, hey, you didn't know who I was. It's about, oh, you know, I come from a European background, and, you know, in Serbia, it's like, we're not all actually blood relatives, but, you know, so-and-so is your, basically your fifth cousin, because the family mm-hmm. is so close, and that's the kind of things that happen. With what you're doing and how you're doing the preservation of your dad's legacy, are there any other opportunities that you think you might see in maybe hooking up with, you know, the Samoan dynasty, or, you know, any other of the, like the Von Erich dynasty, as a kind of a group project, you know, to kind of maybe tell the intertwining stories of some of the, you know, the ways the families have interacted over the years?
I've never actually thought of that.
Well, there you go. That one's for free. No.
I've like done, you know, whenever Offa and Lynn, they've done like their Usos Foundation, like raising money for like getting kids scholarships for WXW. You know, I've always supported that and gone to those and have tried to donate money. And then like in return, you know, they'll be like, oh, we'll do a British Bulldog wine and people will buy it, or we'll auction it. So like we work together in like, yeah, like that, in like charitable capacities, but like as like group projects, like it's never even, that's a whole new idea now. Yeah. You never know.
Well, yeah, just, you know, to me, what's interesting is finding those people who have intersected with your dad. For Rikishi comes to mind, for instance, you know, and to have that perspective through their eyes of, you know, working and knowing and hanging out with your dad. That's where I was wondering if you'd thought of that before. So,
no, but that's a good idea.
There you go.
That is a good idea.
I have one good idea pretty much a month. So you got my December one. Yeah.
It's like me. I'm like, sometimes I come up with good ideas. So when I have that idea, think about it. Yeah.
As we wrap up, what would you say is the one thing that you've learned from your dad's life?
Well, it's probably going to sound like cheesy or like, you know, but my dad, he never gave up, gave up. You know, he had been put through a lot of stuff, you know, all throughout his life. You know, my dad was born with measles in his eyes, and he couldn't, wow, he couldn't see very well when he was wrestling, you know, in his younger days and growing up until he got, you know, glasses and LASIK eye surgery. He was wrestling on instinct, you know, from that to everything, and having to go, wow, move to Canada when he was 16, 17, and, you know, Dynamite was not a treat to live with, and, you know, made his life a living hell. And Dynamite wanted him out of Canada. And my dad had to like endure that for, I don't know how long, until, you know, he moved in with Brett and his life changed. But it was like, my dad was, he was ready to pack up and go home. Imagine if he had done that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no Harry.
No me, no Harry. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you know, man. There wouldn't be the biggest name in British wrestling. Like, there wouldn't be Wembley Stadium, wouldn't have happened, you know. And, you know, he got into a major car accident in, you know, 1989, and he broke his neck and broke his ribs, and he had like a roadmap scar, like just everything. And then you see when he went back in 91, you wouldn't have thought that had happened. He just went right back, and he could have been like, well, that's it, you know, I'm done. And nope, he, look what he did. Yeah. He never, ever, ever gave up. And, you know, even when he broke his back in WCW and that all happened, and he got his addictions from there with all of that. And it kind of, but it was like, okay, well, that's happened. His mom, his sister died. Owen died all in the same, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was like, he still went back. He still did it. He still, you know, up to the day he died, you know, to a week before he died, he was wrestling. He was trading. He was doing stuff. He was trying to, he didn't have that victim mentality. It was like, well, what can I do to better my situation right now? What can I do? And for sure, my dad, like, I know my dad was going through some dark things, and some probably was really depressed that, like, you know, everything that had happened and all of everything, you know, up to that point. And, you know, as us humans, we reflect and we think of things, and especially when our lives aren't going very good. But he was like, okay, well, that's done with. What can I do? What can I do? What can I? And like, I try to have that mindset. It's like, well, what would he do right now? Right. Like in this COVID situation. And it's like, I can tell you, you know, he'd be working out, or he'd be, I mean, obviously, if, I don't know what your gym situation is, but the gyms are open here, but he'd be working out, doing things on the phone, talking about new gear, or new something, or Georgia, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And he would just be going.
Yeah.
And that's what I look up to, and that's what I strive to be like. And like I said, he just never, ever quit. And he had a really good heart as well. And like, my dad would help anybody. He'd give you the shirt off his back. And, you know, and that's, I wish I could find somebody like that. It's very, and my dad was like one of a kind. Like, he was literally like, I've never met anybody like my dad.
Yeah.
But that's what he taught me, to never quit.
And that's what a remarkable, you know, when you look at all those situations you mentioned.
And more.
Yeah, of course, you know. But
yeah.
But what's amazing is that, again, that whole idea of when you have a shorter lifespan, but you've done so much in your life. It just feels like when you talk about him, he was, you know, 76 years old when he passed away. There's so much there.
Exactly. And when we were doing this thing with WWE recently, and we were watching SummerSlam match, and I said, do you guys know how old Davey is in this? And the people, the crew were like, no. So my dad was 29. What? He was 29 years old and sold out Wembley Stadium? I said, yeah. And they were like, he was 29 when he did this? And he, I'm like, yeah. I sure as heck wasn't doing that at 29. Or today, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a whole different scenario. But it was just like, look at that. And like you said, like, you would have thought he was, like, and that's what the WWE crew said. They were like, wow, like, your dad's life, it seems like, you know, he lived for 100 years.
Yeah.
Or he was so much older. Or he, I was like, yeah.
On the flip side, from your mom, what is the, do you see yourself in more of the light of your mom's character or your dad's character? And what have you been able to take and use in your life that your mom's given you?
My mom, what I've tried to learn from her is, she's very patient. My mom's very patient. And I think that's very important. And my mom, she's really good with people and with animals. But my mom, she takes the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like today, and I'm guilty of it, and my brother's guilty of it, and my dad, we're always rushing things. We're always, you know, rushing things to get things done. And, you know, our mental attention span is like 10 seconds. And we're always, okay, rush, rush. And my mom's just like, you know, she takes her time. And, you know, sometimes when she does interviews, she goes on and on and on a little bit, but it's because she cares.
Yeah.
And because she wants to, she's like, well, in two sentences, I'm not going to get my point across or what I want to say. And that's really admirable.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, I don't really know a lot of people like that. Yeah. People are always just, okay, let's get it over with. And she's just like, you know, and she's like that with every single person she meets. And, you know, whenever we're walking and somebody might bump into her and she smiles, I'm like, why'd you smile? And she's just always nice and positive. You know, I'm just always like, I'm like, the grumpy cat or whatever outside, or it's morning, I don't want to talk. And my mom's just like, oh, hi, oh. She's just very, you know, like Mother Teresa or something. And I'm like, never. but that's, you know, we'll go shopping. And she's like that too. I'm like, okay, I'm done in here. But look at this. And she, wow. And she'll make the conversation with the store person. And I'm like, okay, let's wrap it up. But you know, that's just the type of person she is. But you know, I would like to be more like that. Because when you take the time to do things, it makes it better.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and anything you do, anything makes it better, and people remember that, and you remember that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, you know, as simple as something like eating. You know,
eating. I eat. I'm like that's. Yeah. I'm always. And my mom, I'm like, she's just. And I'm always like, can you hurry up? And she's like, I'm Fletcherizing or something. I'm like, what's that mean? And she's like, well, that's what Grampy taught me. It's you chew your food 32 times and then it slowly goes down. And I'm like, okay. But she's the queen of slow eating. But like, again, I'm always rushing. I'm always like, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. So, and Harry's like that too. And my dad was like that too. My dad would be like, chicken wing. Like, yeah. It's the same thing. It's true. You made a good point.
Oh, man. Well, before we go, please let everyone know where they can follow you, how they can, you know, see your website and everything that, you know, your dad has done. And I before you even give it, I will encourage everyone, please, if you have never checked out the website, please do. If you've never watched a Davey Boy match, especially if you're younger, please. And if you're trying to get into the business, if you want to know how to wrestle, he is one of the guys you need to watch, because the way he tells a story, it's, you know, there's only a handful of unique people who could have done that. And Davey is one of those people. So, Georgia, where can they find all the information?
Thank you very much for saying all that as well, by the way. So I run my dad's website. It's www.davyboysmith.com. You'll get all of his news, updates, some new content on there. There's some bios. If people are like, oh, I want to know more about Diana or Georgia, or, you know, my mom's written some books. I mean, we're not going to talk about her first book, but she's got some other books since then. And you can take a look and buy those. Really good books. And my brother, you know, you can read about him, about myself. And there's also a frequently asked questions section on there. So if there's anything you guys want to know or want to ask, if there's something, there's a plethora of questions on there. If you want to inquire, feel free to send me a message on there, submit something. I've gotten some inappropriate questions on there, so please refrain from doing that. But that's the website. You can also check out his stores on there as well. And he's also on social media. He's on Instagram at the British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith. And he's on Twitter at _ Davey Boy Smith. And he's on Facebook, just Davey Boy Smith. Those are another fan page of his. My Instagram, it's at Georgia J. Smith. And my Twitter is at Georgia J. Smith 87. And my Facebook is facebook.com/GeorgiaSmith7. I like 7. It's because I was born in 87. It's my number, 7. And my name's G is the 7th letter in the alphabet, and there's 7 letters in my name. So 7 is my number. And if that's a lot, and you guys don't remember that, just on the website tells you all the links and the usernames. It will take you all, and it will show you Harry's and my mom's as well. So, that's that. And there's more to come, and there's more updates and more things on the way. And, you know, Davey's stuff, it's just beginning, you know, right. It's been a little bit, you know, it's nearly been 2 years since I started his social media, and wow, look where we're at now. So, you know, he's a busy man. Yeah. Very, very busy man.
He's probably busier now than, you know, when he was around, because, you know, that's the saddest part of what we have technology wise now, for it not being around back then, because I would have given anything to sit back and just watch your dad have his own podcast. You know, that would have been amazing. So, you know, it's great to see this work you've been doing. And again, please, everyone, you know, I just can't say enough about Davey Boy and what he's meant to myself in my life over the years. And I'm sure that if you don't know him, you definitely got to get to know him. And if you are a fan, there's nothing better out there right now than, you know, following along with what you're doing with the website.
Oh, yeah. And he's got a YouTube channel, too.
Look at that. Look at that. I mean, you know, it's so cool. And, you know, I saw some of the merchandise, too. It's amazing.
The leather heart foundation vest. Oh. I was getting people were like, when can we have when? And WrestleMerch Central, when I came together, and they were like, look, we can do these vests. So they're out. I know they're a little bit pricier, but it's custom made. It's real leather. It's hand painted. It's really, really good top of line quality. And, you know, I think it will be really big hits at like the conventions and, you know, Hall of Fame and whenever wrestling events happen. Those are going to be really, really cool. Yeah. And I'm glad that, like, you know, just all these little visions that I've had, you know, that I've wanted to happen, they've happened or are happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if it's a manifestation or if it's just the fact that I just every single day work hard at it and people have noticed it. I don't know, but my dad deserves this, and he deserves more. And, you know, I'm just glad that I'm the person that's, you know, the ambassador, if you will, because I wouldn't want anybody else doing it, because it means that much to me. So, you know, and, you know, I've been getting, like you had mentioned before, like you've messaged me a couple of times, like I have a whole thing of people like podcast. And I'm just, you know, obviously maybe it might be the same thing on each podcast. This episode in particular, I think this is different, because you asked a lot of really good questions and really different questions, which I've appreciated. But I'm just grateful that people are like interested and they want to talk and they want me to share this experience and, you know, my journey with all of this. And so thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for your time. And thank you, listeners, for your time as well. And until next time, everybody, we will see you later.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.